Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's National Foster Care Month, so for the rest of the hour, we're listening back to a segment we did earlier this year with the owners of a restaurant along U.S. 41 in South Fort Myers. It's kind of hard to miss. It's painted bright green, and it's called FK Your Diet. The FK stands for Foster Kids, and it's run by a man who was raised in foster homes and his wife. They serve up dishes he learned to cook while staying in more than a dozen homes, mostly comfort foods, and in portion sizes that anyone who's experienced food scarcity would appreciate. The purpose of the restaurant is to raise awareness about foster kids and what they're going through in life. The restaurant donates 5% of its revenue to supply the little things that help a foster kid feel a bit more like everyone else. Let's hear that interview now. Here to tell us more about the place and about being raised in foster care is restaurateur Doug Miller and his wife, Amy Eldridge. Thanks so much for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
I've been looking forward to talking with you ever since I heard about this restaurant.
Thanks.
Were you ever in foster care or want to share your story? Do you have a foster kid of your own or just a dish that takes you back to a time that you felt loved and cared for? Give us a call and tell us about it at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So Doug and Amy, tell me how you went from being retired to what is possibly one of the hardest jobs around, which is owning and operating a restaurant. What happened?
We got bored. We did a little traveling, a little vacation, a little shopping and eating out. And after a couple of years of doing that, we just wanted to get a little roots here in the neighborhood. So we opened up a restaurant and we wanted to give back to the community. So we named it FK Your Diet.
So that's a bit of a risk. FK stands for foster kids. Is that your way of kind of like demanding a little bit of attention be paid to foster kids?
Most foster kids look for attention in all kinds of different ways. So, sure, it was our way of doing it. And we got a lot of attention. We got a lot of people would stop by and tell us not to do that. The experts would stop in and tell us we shouldn't do it. We got a little blowback from the city for painting FK Your Diet on the side of our building.
So what do you say to those people when they come in?
I just ask them to – well, first I listen to them. And when they're done talking, I ask them to close their eyes. And then I say, when's the last time you had a meaningful thought about foster kids? And when I do that, they open their eyes and they look at you and they're like, I don't, you know. And if you think about the problem, in Florida, I think there's like 25,000 foster kids. So that's like bigger than the city of Naples. So you take the whole city of Naples and everybody there is a foster kid, basically. Big issue.
It's a big issue, and you're right. People just kind of don't think about it a whole lot.
Correct.
So, Amy, how long have you guys been married?
5 years.
5 years. Okay. So has Doug's being raised as a foster kid kind of shown itself in your relationship? Are there any idiosyncrasies that you've picked up that kind of are explained by the fact that he was raised in foster care?
There are some, and I've actually learned a little more about him by opening this restaurant. Just one quick little story that relates to our Christmas shoe drive. Doug is a lover of Nike shoes. He has probably over 300 pairs of Nike shoes.
Nike, huh?
And I always just thought he just had a shoe fetish.
Not Adidas.
Not Adidas, mostly Nikes. And so I just always thought he just had this great love of shoes. Mm-hmm. Well, as we were opening the restaurant, we had more in-depth conversations and with interviews and everything. And I learned that Doug never had a new pair of shoes growing up ever. And so as he became an adult and became successful, he bought those brand new shoes that he missed out as a child. So our passion at Christmas time was to give foster children new shoes, not Walmart brand shoes, not
the hand-me-downs.
Right, not the hand-me-downs, not the used ones, nice name brand, mostly Nike shoes. So with the help of our support of our customers and some local shoe stores, we were able to give foster children 190 pair of shoes out at Christmas
time. That's a lot. That's significant.
Yes.
Because Nikes are not the cheapy shoes.
They are not the cheapy shoes.
Nice taste.
Thank you.
Nice job. So tell me a little bit, Doug, about your early life. When did you end up in foster care, and how many years did you spend in foster care, and how many homes did you see in that many years?
I spent most of my childhood in foster care. My parents died when I was young, around 2. They both died of cancer. Hmm. Kind of got lucky there, I guess. And I guess one of the things about, benefits of being a foster kid for Amy is we don't have to fight about where we're going for the holidays. You know, I mean, it's your parents, not mine. And
morbid laughter.
And I was adopted by my aunt who would beat us. So I ran away. They remember her sending me outside to the woodpile to get a stick to beat me with. And I did not come back into the house. And I spent about 3 days in a ditch. And the cops found me. I had bruises all over my body. And they said I didn't have to go back. And from there, 16 or 17 different foster homes, group homes, receiving homes, things of that nature.
Did you have – you didn't have any siblings then?
I do. I have two sisters who weren't as lucky as I was.
Sorry, but this was in Ohio or is this
– California.
California. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Was there a family that you would have liked to have stayed with through all those places?
Well, you know, I was listening earlier. You know, if you're abused as a child, the best that you can hope for is not to be abused. And so what you're looking for is just a little bit of normalcy and a little bit of way to, you know, defend yourself. You know, how do I communicate with these people now that they're the new people that I'm supposed to communicate with? So being adopted once, I don't think it ever entered my mind that I wanted to be adopted twice because it was a bad experience.
Yeah, that was definitely a level of commitment that might have been a little frightening going
Correct.
Forward, right?
Yeah.
So I understand there were some families that locked the refrigerator on you and you showed up at one place and the guy was chasing a cat with a hammer and they went ahead and dropped you off at this home.
Yeah, they sure did. Yeah, they – I don't know how the system works nowadays and how it works here in Florida and no disrespect to any of the foster parents out there. I know it's a tough job. It's a job of passion and love. I'm much older. And so when I went through foster care, it seems like the homes they put me in, most of the people were in it for the income.
Mm-hmm.
It was a job. So, yeah, you didn't have free run of the house. You didn't have clothing. You didn't have shoes. You didn't just go into the refrigerator and get food out.
Well, you've said the biggest problem in foster care is that you're different.
You are different, but you don't want to be different. And so – you know, most of the time, you know, that means that you're going to act out in other ways. You know, you'll become the class clown. You know, look at me. I want some attention from somebody. Good attention, bad attention. Just give me something to let me know that I exist. This isn't all a dream. So,
but you do become adept at figuring out how to communicate with and win over different, very different people. And that may have served you well in your life as a salesperson.
It served me very well in sales. I know
how tough training, but you know.
No, it's sure. I know how to pick the right words, put them in the right order to get the right response. And yes, I learned that, and I learned that at a heavy cost, you know, because if you said the wrong thing, you got hit. You know, violence does work.
It'll train you.
It trains you, and so yeah, it served me well. I think. You know, at a very early age, I've learned to pay attention. I had to learn to pay attention.
Yeah, and read the room, read the cues.
Read the situation.
Figure out how to walk on those eggshells.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So this restaurant features dishes that you learned at the many homes that you were part of. Can you tell me about a few of them?
Yeah. The Russells, the guy that liked to chase the cat around with the hammer. Tamara was a horrible cook. And one day she brought out split pea soup. Now, if you've ever seen split pea soup, it looks a lot like baby poop.
Yeah, that's a tough sell.
A tough sell, you know, and you're a little kid and you're like, oh, here it goes, you know. Here comes the porridge, you know, whatever that.
Oliver, more please. Yeah, I got
Yeah, you. And I remember they gave me $1 or something to try it and it was a really good meal. It's one of my favorite soups to this day. Biscuits and gravy, the Bowdens. She was a United Pentecostal preacher's daughter. And I lived there for about a year and we weren't allowed to wear shorts. And, you know, I mean, we had to go to church 12 times a day. And crazy family. Oh, wow. Whacked out. But, you know, she made biscuits and gravy. And today it's still it's our number one selling item on the menu. I don't want to make this about the restaurant, but that's where I learned how to make biscuits and gravy. And when you get one of our biscuits, some people go, that's not a biscuit because it's flat. Well, her husband, Sam Bowden, was raised in the Depression time, and he hated fluffy biscuits, and he liked flat biscuits, and that's what he served. I fell in love with flat biscuits, so that's what I serve.
I have to get there to try that.
I'm
a big fan of the biscuits and gravy.
Thank you, beautiful.
And I understand that your pancakes are unique.
Yes.
They have kind of like a little ring of butter around the outside.
Yeah, I fry everything in butter. And they're super thin. Some people call them Swedish pancakes. And most people, when they eat our pancakes, the response we get is very – they remind me of my grandma, my grandpa, you know, my parents' way of doing it. And that's a really good compliment.
Mm-hmm. We've got a comment that came in on Facebook, so this is going to be great for business. It says, oh, that's what the FK was. I pass it every day going to work. Now I'm going to stop in.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Good to let people know what it's about. So tell me, are there certain organizations that you guys work with the restaurant for your donations?
Yeah, we work with a bunch of different organizations from Summit Church, Lutheran Services. They come out of the woodwork. If you get on our Facebook page, you'll see.
We do a lot of personal, you know.
One-to-one.
One-to-one. But, yeah, the Every Child Initiative with Summit Church we work a lot with, mm-hmm. and Lutheran Services. We do a lot for them, too, on a case-by-case basis.
Do you have people come into your restaurant that may have had a similar experience that find that some of these recipes really kind of speak to them as well?
What it's been in the first 4 months is an emotional roller coaster ride. The amount of people that have come in to tell us either a horrific story about foster care or a story about overcoming some huge obstacle to become successful. And it's like, now we have somebody to tell it to.
Did you ever anticipate that you would be telling this story of your early life at this point in your life, post-retirement?
No. And it's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Still to this, you know, still at 46 years old, it's still something that, you know, I don't have those normal experiences that so many have, you know, to talk about. So it's like I don't want to talk about, you know, how bad I had it because then it's like poor Doug. It's not what I'm going for. I think the biggest thing a foster kid has to deal with is the shame of being a foster kid.
But it's not really your fault, though.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's your fault or not.
It feels that way?
Well, sure. You know, you're still in that situation. You still have to deal with that. And, you know, you don't have parents. You don't have a family. You don't have those things. You don't have any history.
Even the poorest family
has
a family,
and they have a history.
And that lack of history is a hard thing to just even talk about.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like caveman, generation one.
Generation one. So tell me a little bit more about some of these recipes that you have that you're featuring at your restaurant. We've got biscuits and gravy. We have the split pea soup. We have the unique pancakes. What other items have a comforting story attached to them?
We have a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Of course. Well, who doesn't?
Who does not have that? and it's on what we call a Doug bun. I'm a bit of what you would call a narcissist. And so we name things after me. Usually it's the servers that come up with it.
So there's the Doug bun.
The Doug bun, which is a deep fried bun that we put our homemade strawberry dipping sauce and Jiffy peanut butter together. And it's delightful. We have Doug nuts. They're kind of like a donut, but better.
Okay. Well, it's kind of how it's spelled anyway, donuts, right?
Exactly. And that's how it's spelled on our menu.
We call our servers Doug dealers. I mean, we can go all day if you'd like.
Okay, seriously.
Our hamburger bun's called the Doug bun.
Oh, is it a fried bun too?
Yes.
So this is not probably advisable for those that have, you know, cholesterol issues.
No, not at all.
No. What's the healthiest thing?
Our avocado, our guacamole dip.
Okay.
People absolutely love it. It's a very simple recipe. But we do make our own chips, and we take a big tortilla, we deep fry it, and we cut it up. Now, the FGCU students love, which I absolutely adore, they love our breakfast burrito that weighs in a little over 3 pounds.
Wasn't that kind of the inspiration behind saying, oh, let's go ahead and do a restaurant?
It was. It was the first time we put pen and paper together and started to do the math to see if our kind of style of cooking would actually work and generate a profit where we could give money back.
I think it's great. So you're open for breakfast and lunch only?
And dinner.
And dinner. Okay. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's a lot of hours.
It is.
Well, happy retirement.
Thank you, beautiful.
That's all the time we've got for today's show. I want to thank my guests, Doug Miller and Amy Eldridge, the owners of FK Your Diet Restaurant in South Fort Myers. Thanks both for being here and sharing your stories with us.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to my earlier guests, Janine Zeitlin and Frank Gluck, both reporters for the News Press and USA Today Network, during our segment about the need for more mental health services for kids. And also thanks to 16-year-old Anna Berry, founder and program director for the Student Alliance on Mental Illness, or SAMI. If you missed any of today's show, you can always hear all of our episodes in their entirety on our website at gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.